Hey, what's up, Pelicans fans? Welcome to the Bird Rights Podcast. My name is Preston Ellis, and I am the host and producer for the new home to all things Pelicans on Dash Radio, your new one-stop shop for everything you Boogie and Brow fanatics need. Now, if you like what you're hearing, follow us on Twitter at The Bird Rights. Read our source material at TheBirdRights.com. And most importantly, throw yourself over to iTunes and download every available podcast by searching The Bird Rights NBA Podcast. And that's right, W-R-I-T-E-S. Subscribe today and find pregame analysis from opposing experts, recaps, rumors, breaking news, and all of the best analysis.
And hello, Pelicans fans. It's Travis Tate. Again, without Preston Ellis, our fearless host, but I guess he's still in California, or was it Florida or California? Did we ever figure that out, Trevor?
Oh my God, I don't know. He's somewhere. I think he was in California at the time. I'm not sure if he's still there or back. I'm not entirely sure.
We can't remember these kinds of things. It's really not that important. But anyway, that was Trevor Ritchie. I'm Travis Tate. We are the Big Picture Boys. Trevor, I forgot to do this last time. What's your Twitter handle? Did you say it last time?
It's Richie, R-I-T-C-H-I-E, and then T-M-R.
It's a good Twitter handle. Mine is Trabeta, so it's T-R-A-B-E-T-A. It's kind of ridiculous when you have to spell it out, but...
Yeah, I mean, this entire intro has been very depressing so far.
Well, and we haven't even gotten to the game yet, so
exactly.
I guess we can jump right in because nothing but more depressing feelings. The Pelicans lost 103-91 to Memphis. Memphis's roster doesn't look that good to me, Trevor. So why was it that the Pelicans' offense just basically shut down? They scored 34 points in the first quarter, and then they just struggled basically the whole rest of the game.
Well, I mean, to give Memphis credit, they went away. They decided not to give money to some of their veteran guys like Zebo, and they let Tony Allen go, and they went young and they went athletic, and it's seemed to pay off for where they're trying to go. Not that that's necessarily a roster that a team with two of the top 20 players in the league should lose to the way that they did. I chopped this up to a loss, honestly, after obviously seeing the preseason performance that we put up in that last game. But I mean, the offense started off great. We were playing well off the screen and roll with Holiday and Moore. We were working the offensive glass. It looked a lot better than I thought it would, considering we were without Rondo. Also, going back to giving Memphis credit, Mario Chalmers looked pretty good out there. He hadn't looked like he missed a step. He's been out for 19 months. I think he worked out for the Pelicans last year trying to make a comeback, and it just didn't happen for him. Boogie was not hesitant from deep at all. I loved seeing his aggression. In the first quarter, I think we were like 55% from the field and 65% from three. So it was a very optimistic start, and from there, I feel like when we entered, was it the second quarter, and we missed 13 of the first 15 shots, they weren't the most awful. I mean, there was some buckets that didn't fall for AD, that didn't fall for Drew, that DeMarcus couldn't get to fall. But past that point, it became to where we dug ourselves a hole that we tried to get out of with hero ball, and the ball movement slacked. We went to isolation, and it just didn't work, Travis.
Is that where you see why Drew had such a bad game? I think he only had 4 points. Check that really quick.
I don't really know what's wrong with Drew. Something's got to change. I mean, it was honestly a pitiful performance.
He had 2 of 11 in 38 minutes.
Yes, and he went 2 for 11, which is just barely above 18% from the field. Considering that contract we just gave him, what was it, 5 years, $126 million? That shouldn't happen on any night. Not with 38 minutes when you're almost playing as much as you can. I understand that that workload and what you're asking him to do playing 38 minutes is a lot and can be tiring, but it's still worth a lot more than 4 points. I mean, granted, you're not going to lose a lot of games. Not a shot to Etuan Moore, but when Etuan Moore is your third highest scorer with 11 points, you're not going to win a lot of ball games.
Why didn't the bench produce more? Because you've got some backup guards there who, you know, you'd think might be able to make some plays, at least make some shots. In the case of, you know, definitely Ian Clark, we know he can shoot. Jordan Crawford can shoot too, and those were the only guys to score off the bench. Our guy Darius Miller, that we thought was potentially going to be starting at the three, and we're probably discovering why they didn't want to have to do that.
I mean, yeah, he played 17 minutes, and the only thing that shows up on the stat sheet is a field goal attempt. So
and
I mean,
four fouls. Don't forget that.
Yeah, I left that at the end. I was just going to leave that be. But part of it has to reflect on the coaching staff. I mean, there was when the rotation started to come in with those guys, there was zero ball movement. It was AD, Boogie, or Drew going ISO. And when those guys did get the ball, they were doing the same thing because they really didn't have another choice. What the offense kind of went to, the only person moving was the person with the ball, and everybody else was standing around. There were no cuts. It was just a really stale offense past the second quarter, and I don't think that really allowed for much of anybody to do anything. I mean, honestly, it looked like Davis and Cousins had a great night, but when you look at their shooting percentages, I mean, AD was 9 of 23 and DeMarcus was 9 of 21. I mean, it's not great.
Take me back to happier times and say around the first quarter when Boogie was going. He, you know, famously this offseason, I guess, lost a bunch of weight and got into the best shape of his playing career. How did you think that he looked tonight, at least maybe when he was at his best tonight? How do you think he looked?
Throughout most of the game, he looked fairly well. Some shots didn't fall. I think there was a lot of physicality in the game that the refs let the teams play. It was almost – and that typically happens with Memphis. It's a little old school feel. He had 7 points in the first 5 minutes. He just went on attack. He almost looked like a guard capable big. I mean, he is a guard capable big, but he almost looked like a guard out there, and he was playing in that role. I wrote a piece on 5 things we learned from the preseason, and that was one, that he's going to be running in that spot quite often. I mean, his defense was great at times. The only thing that I can knock him for is when it seems like he gets a bad call on one end of the floor, and, you know, doesn't get a foul call or doesn't get this or that. He stalls and he doesn't get back on defense, and that's when a guy like Marc Gasol is going to take advantage on the other end. So other than that, it's kind of the same theme across everyone. I think DeMarcus Cousins, if you have to pick an MVP, was obviously it. But that's the promising part. We're going to get what we're going to get out of DeMarcus and AD. It's just that Drew's got to step up, and then we've got to find a offensive scheme to incorporate those bench players.
Yeah. We talked a little bit about Dylan Brooks off, I believe, before we were recording, right?
Yeah.
I can't even remember now. But Dylan Brooks, I mean, the guy's a rookie. He's out of Oregon, made a lot of shots tonight, did a lot of everything tonight. Do you think he's really that good?
I'm not sure. I think he definitely deserves minutes in that Memphis rotation. And I think he earned that. I think he proved that tonight. But when you have a second round pick rookie come in and score 19 points and grab 5 boards on you, it's kind of alarming when you're going into a home opener Friday against some of the best guards in the league. And to your question, yes, I think he can be that good. Not that good as in 19 points. No. Can he get some solid minutes in the rotation for Memphis? Yes, of course. He obviously proved that tonight, but it's definitely alarming stat when I'm not sure. Let me look at how many minutes he played tonight. He played 29 minutes. He got a fair amount of minutes. But it's crazy, man. I'm scared. There's no telling what that Golden State offense can do Friday when a guy like Dylan Brooks is doing what he did to the Pelicans defense.
Yeah. I don't know if you saw the Golden State Houston game, but had an incredible finish. They of course are going to play the Pelicans this Friday. Your boy Ian Clark is a former Warrior. Does he come out and maybe make a bunch of shots?
No, Ian Clark can't make more than one three in 21 minutes against the Grizzlies. What's he going to do against a team that knows exactly how he plays? No, he's not going to get anything. Not if he plays the way he did tonight. If he comes out with a different mindset and he's hyped, you know, maybe he gets that ring on his finger and he changes his pace. But I'm not very optimistic about anyone coming off the bench right now. I mean, honestly, Jordan Crawford is about the best one. He got 12 minutes, 5 points, 2 for 4, 50% from the field. I mean, I'll take that.
One last question. And that was, I didn't actually look this up yet, but I'd like to do that over under that I mentioned to you earlier, which is because we're playing the Warriors next. You would expect a blowout loss. Do you expect more or less than 1.5 losses to the Golden State Warriors this year by 30 or more?
I'm going to go over, even if we played them once, because we might could get blown out by 60 and we can just count it up to two games. So I'm definitely going to take the over on that one. I'm not trying to be negative. It's just awful when you see how good a team can be in one quarter and then you end up with 18 turnovers. I mean, it's crazy. I don't know what to think of it. We had more turnovers than assists. We had 18 turnovers and 15 assists. You won't win a ball game against the Brooklyn Nets if you turn the ball over more than you have an assist. It's not possible. And this is just tonight. I'm not going to be negative on the season. It's too early to say blow it up. I'm going to hate on Drew Holiday for the performance tonight. I'm not going to hate on him as a player. I'm not going to hate on his capabilities, any of that, because it's way too early for that. He's a lot more capable than this, and I don't think he'll have many more of these performances. But my negativity comes towards the performance that I saw from the second quarter to the end of the game tonight.
Well, hey, we've seen him do this a number of times. I mean, this is why there are people who are detractors of his and think that he isn't worth the money, which, I mean, you know, pretty objectively, he's not worth $125 million, but, you know, obviously you have to overpay for your own guys. So is part of our disappointment in him, is it at least partially related to that dollar figure next to his name?
It's a factor. It's not a factor to me. I think it's when you look at him as the third player in that big three, you're going to expect that to show up on the stat sheet regardless of how much he's getting paid. I mean, look at how much Rondo's getting paid and look at how much we're going to expect from him when he comes back. That's a vast difference. And they're still around the same expectation from the two in different respects. So, I mean, yes, it's always one of those things that just looms in the background in his pocketbook when you're only putting up 4 points, but not necessarily when it just comes to what we need out of him. I think I told you before the game, If Etuan Moore or Drew Holiday doesn't have 15 points and 5 assists, we're not going to win a ball game. It's not going to happen. We're going to need of those two guys in the starting lineup to get 15 and 5, or we won't win a ball game. Especially, like I said earlier, it's just not going to happen, period, when you have more turnovers than assists. Yeah. We almost had more blocks than assists.
Wow. That's
impressive. We had 12 blocks and 15 assists.
Yeah, Cousins had 7 blocks, I think.
Yes.
Man.
7 blocks. Man. Yeah, it was a block party early. I thought early in the game, the transition defense, I was thinking, man, we might have something in transition for the Warriors early. It looked good. Like I said earlier, we were playing well off the screen and roll. We were cleaning the offensive boards, and then we lost all of it.
Yeah. All right, so we're going to get out of here because it's late at night and we have to go bedtime. So the big picture boys, we have a big picture question, I guess.
We'll go with
that. That is, league-wide, who is going to be the first head coach to be fired?
You got to go on that one first, Travis. You got to go on that one. I got to hear your take so my take doesn't sound that bad.
Oh, let's see. How about Jason Kidd?
No, are you crazy? The Bucks?
There's a lot of rumblings. And I don't know, maybe Giannis comes out and plays great. And
Did you see his stat for the night?
I saw him. I watched him play tonight.
Okay, yeah. That was crazy.
It was ridiculous.
And I don't know. I hate to say it on the Pels pod, but it looks like most likely. Alvin Gentry's up there. You can make a strong argument for that.
He is up there.
I mean, he's top three easily. Sure. I don't know enough like closely. And I'm only saying that because I know covering so closely how much of a hot seat he's on right now. So I mean, I would easily have to go with that. I don't think that's going to be a decision that gets made like during the season. I think that's a postseason call. Mm-hmm. But I'm not sure. I hope not. I mean, I don't necessarily think he's a great head coach, and whatever they're doing in training camp isn't really showing off. That, I mean, what happened tonight is the exact opposite of what we've been hearing all offseason. We've been hearing ball movement, and I understand part of that is Rondo, but when we bring in Chris Finch, we're expecting a certain amount of capability with a guy that knows how to run an offense centered around bigs, and I didn't see any of that tonight. So I think most of this performance has to reflect on them, especially after you had the chance of seeing a game in the last game of the preseason against Memphis where you only had 14 assists and you make nearly no adjustments and come out with the same type of play, the same type of ball movement. Essentially the same performance in that area, and you had time to prepare for it knowing what was coming. So I mean, from that perspective, that's one of the reasons he's got to be up there. And I don't even know if on the staff right now we have an option that we could bring in interim wise to replace him that I'm comfortable with either. And I'm not calling for his job on the first game of the season. I'm not calling for his job for this entire season at all. It's just a very disappointing performance.
Well, and unfortunately, they started out so bad the previous 2 years.
Yeah, I think it was a 2-10 start one of the last 2 years, and then a 1-11. We're 3-21 on start like the first 10 or 11 games the last 2 years. I think we play the Lakers on Sunday or something. I think we should chop that up to a win. So I mean, we're halfway there to the best start if we win that game that we've had in the last 3 years. So it's just not – well, first of all, the schedule makers didn't really chop it up to an easy go in these first 12 games. But still, you got to go with what you're given. And like I said earlier, when you have two of the best 20 players in the league, you can't afford to have the guys around them have the performance that they had tonight.
Yeah.
Speaking when we were looking forward to that Warriors game Friday night, I just wanted to plug in that I will be there. I'll be providing some live coverage. I should have a preview piece along with this podcast coming out tomorrow, the podcast will be out once it's posted. But I'll have that preview piece out, and then I'll have a recap afterwards, and you can follow me on Twitter if you want some live coverage of the game.
That's a great job, Trevor. Way to wrap it up there.
Man. I'm trying.
Yeah, no. Hey, you gotta push the content, churn through the content, push up the content.
You've always got to look at the big picture after stuff like this, man.
There's a big picture of content, and we are putting it out every day at thebirdwrites.com on this The Bird Calls podcast, which now I guess Travis and Trevor host every once in a while, and. I think that's all I'm going to say. Anything else you want to say, Trevor? Or let's get out of here.
Oh yeah, let's get out of here before we catch another loss.
Thanks again, Pelicans fans. Again, you are listening to the BirdRights.com's podcast on Dash Radio. Find more on iTunes by searching the BirdRights:NBA podcast, and find our source material at thebirdrights.com. Thanks for listening.